two more important names. American Express's chief, James D. Robinson III, has added an unusual title to his name, Chief Quality Officer. The new title even appears in the giant company's bylaws. Robinson's other titles included Chairman, President, and CEO. While Amex's credit card business is doing fine, earnings from its Shearson Lehman Hutton brokerage has tumbled 77% since 1986. A reorganization costing $700 million is being planned, including laying off 2,000 of 35,000 employees. Business Week observes that if he can pull it off, he'll be worthy of yet another title, Chief Miracle Worker. But there are two names that James D. Robinson will not be worthy of whatever he does. A name which is above every name, and the Messiah. Only Jesus is worthy of these two names. It is exceedingly interesting to know the many names by which Christ calls himself in the Bible. We have covered above 40 in this series, 45 to be exact. The reason why he has so many names is that one name would not describe him. He has so many officers that one name will not explain them. Nay, all of them put together do not. For Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." Of all the names given, we still have two more important names to consider. As mentioned earlier, they are a name which is above every name and the Messiah. Let us consider each in turn. First of all, we have Roman numeral 1, the name, a name which is above every name. A name which is above every name. Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 to 9 says, "Let us read it together, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name." The Lord bless the reading of his holy and infallible word. A name which is above every name. This remains the most inscrutable of all the names given to the Savior. No one but God knows what it is. Its importance is unlimited. Its glory beyond comprehension. Its beauty unsurpassed. God, who is omniscient and whose wisdom is unfathomable, decided to give his Son a special name to outshine in splendor all other names. People remember the Caesars and think of great conquests. Others remember Moses and meditate on the laws given to Israel. Leonardo da Vinci, Michelangelo, and Rembrandt are associated with masterpieces of art. Bach, Beethoven, and Mozart bring to mind the greatest compositions in music. Marconi and Edison suggest discoveries which revolutionize communications. Meritorious achievements earn for these people great renown. Each in his field was a genius. Jesus of Nazareth exceeded all of them. He founded an empire on love and conquered enemies by the power of affection. As a constructor, he built a bridge between the need of man and the sufficiency of God. As an artist, he painted on human canvas the greatest portraits of God ever revealed to humanity. He recorded on the emotions of devoted listeners songs of liberty and joy which expressed the harmony of heaven. his exploits on behalf of heaven and earth, so pleased the Almighty that God honored Christ with a special name, a name above every name. How is his name above every name? His name is, letter A, far above all places. Far above all places. Ephesians chapter 4 verses 8 to 10 says, again let's read together, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but he that also is descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Far above all heavens. The universe in which we live is so vast that even the greatest telescopes can only probe the fringes of God's creation. Sir James Jean said, there are more worlds in space than there are grains of sand on all the beaches of earth, the universe around us, page 12. To gaze even with the naked eye at the star-filled heavens fascinates the mind. Scientists declare that there are suns in outer space which dwarf the sun that shines daily upon us. The immensity of the heavens beggars description and defies the efforts of man to unlock its undiscovered secrets. Yet, however great the heavens may be, Paul believed that his Savior was enthroned above them all, far above them all. It therefore became evident that when God chose a name for his matchless Son, it expressed the surpassing glory of excellence. A name above every name. How is his name above every name? Not only his name far above all places, his name is, letter B, far above all persons. Far above all persons. When he commenced his letter to the Hebrews, the writer used eloquent terms to describe the eternal glories of the Savior, who being the brightness of his, that is God's glory, in the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the power of his, by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Hebrews chapter 1 verses 3 to 4. The Bible speaks of angels as being the servants of the living God and indicates that among their number are archangels, beings possessing greater wisdom, authority and power. We are unable to explain all the intricacies of the angelic arrangement, but the Savior is greater of all. He has a more excellent name than they. The Bible describes beasts around the throne of God and describes how they serve Him day and night in His temple. The unspecified splendor of their celestial scene may be beyond the powers of human comprehension. A name above every name. How is his name above every name? His name is far above all places. His name is far above all persons. His name is also, let us see, far above all in preeminence. Far above all in preeminence. Writing to the Colossians, Paul said in Colossians chapter 1 verse 18, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. The Savior stands alone in magnificence. The greatest of earthly scholars bowed at his feet. The mightiest of human conquerors were overcome by his love. Even kings joyfully became his subjects. The Savior, who possess the name above all names is best known through his love extended towards sinners. Not only do we have the name, a name which is above every name, we have Roman numeral 2, the name the Messiah. The Messiah. Daniel chapter 9 verse 25 says, "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times." John chapter 1 verse 41 says, "He," that is Andrew, "first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted, the Christ. John chapter 4 verse 25 says, "The woman saith unto him," that is Jesus, "I know that Messiah cometh," which is called Christ, "when he is come, he will tell us all things." Messiah was the greatest word in the Hebrew vocabulary. It expressed the most vital element of Jewish theology and excited the people's hope of the miraculous deliverance expected for the anointed messenger of God. Throughout centuries of oppression and servitude, the nation expectantly looked forward to the time when God's chosen servant would break the shackles of bondage and lift Israel to the heights of grandeur and dominion, which will be the envy of all nations. Let's look in greater detail those three verses earlier on that talk about the Messiah and the surrounding verses. Letter A, the Prince coming. The Prince coming. Watching a particular romantic ending to a Disney animated video, a mother's 5-year-old daughter sighed, "I hope I meet my prince someday." "Of course you will," the mother reassured her daughter. "You know, I met my prince the day I met your daddy." Puzzled, the daughter turned to the mother. "Who was he?" She asked. She saw that her daddy and the prince are two different persons. But the mother meant the daddy and the prince to be the same person. Her husband was her prince. Similarly, Jesus is our Prince, not in a romantic sense, but in a reverent sense. He is the Prince coming. Among the most important of the ancient prophets was Daniel, who wrote in Daniel chapter 9, verses 25 to 26, "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks, and 62 weeks, and after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself." Sir Robert Anderson, in his monumental book, The Coming Prince, Craigo Publications, proved that the stipulated time was fulfilled the day Christ rode into Jerusalem. Soon after that memorable occasion, the Lord Jesus was indeed cut off, but not for himself. A prince is an uncrowned son of a royal family. The Jewish people might have crowned Jesus with gold. Instead, they used thorns as a substitute. Nevertheless, Daniel expressed the hope of his nation. Rabbis encouraged listeners to anticipate that glorious event. And teachers reminded their students that the messianic promise was the chief hope of the oppressed nation. Unfortunately, the people had cataracts in their eyes. The vision was blurred. They failed to recognize him, and he died upon a cross which they supplied. To the unbelieving Jews, Jesus' death was his end. They were still looking for a victorious Messiah to free them from Rome and re-establish the throne of David. Letter B, the preacher calling. The preacher calling. Describing one of the earliest events in the ministry of the Lord, John wrote in John chapter 1 verses 41 to 42, "He," that is Andrew, "first first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah. And he brought him to Jesus. Later, when Nathanael came before the Lord, he said, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. John chapter 1, verse 49. Evidently, at that time, Jesus was not the King of Israel, but no doubt existed in the consciousness of Nathanael. He was certain of his faith, and for him at least, Jesus had already been crowned in the heart of this new convert. Evidently, faith filled the heart of Nathanael. He was seeing that which had not come to pass. Blessed is the person who sees in a few moments what others fail to recognize in a lifetime. A person at a youth retreat in Dallas once said, You cannot trust preachers in one thing, time. But trust me, okay? But Jesus as a preacher was not long-winded. He only needed to make one statement in John chapter 1 verse 48. Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. And Nathanael confessed that Jesus was the King of Israel. Let us see. The prophet claiming. Under Indiana law, a 1917 statute makes a person convicted of predicting the future for a fee, subject to a fee for a fine of $100 and a 60-day jail sentence. Take note that the key words are for a fee. If Jesus had lived in Indiana in 1917 and was a charlatan who asked for a fee when predicting the future, he could be in trouble. But we thank God that Jesus was not a charlatan who lived on the fees of others. Jesus was a true prophet. Embarrassed by a revelation of former indiscretion, the Samaritan woman said in John chapter 4 verse 19, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. And wishing to change the subject of the conversation, mentioned religion. She then said, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. John chapter 4, verses 25 to 26. This was one of the many claims made by the Savior, and there was no ambiguity in the statement. Honest students must admit Christ either was or was not what he claimed. He asserted that he was the fulfillment of the messianic predictions. He was the King of Israel. Writing to Timothy and referring to the Savior, Paul wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 17, Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. When Saul of Tarsus, one of the most antagonistic Jews of his generation, recognized Jesus to be the long-awaited Messiah, his entire life was transformed. And becoming the apostle to the Gentiles, he published the message of Christ's great love towards sinners throughout the known world. A name which is above every name. How is his name above every name? His name is far above all places. His name is far above all persons. His name is far above all in preeminence. Why is his name far above all in preeminence? Because of his great love extended towards sinners. The Messiah, the Prince coming, the preacher calling, and the prophet claiming. Claiming to be who? Claiming to be the Messiah. When Saul of Tarsus recognized Jesus to be the long-awaited Messiah, his entire life was transformed. And becoming the apostle to the Gentiles, he published the message of Christ's great love towards sinners throughout the known world. It is impossible to love and serve Christ and not be enthusiastic about bringing others to Him. People who have no interest in the extension of the kingdom cannot be devoted to the King. Are you bringing others to Christ? Are you bringing others to Christ? That is why we do visitation in Whampoa Estate on Saturdays. But we need men to take the lead. Again, I would like to appeal to the men to take the lead in four demarcated sectors in Whampoa. Red sector, consisting of 8 blocks. Blue sector, consisting of 14 blocks. Green sector, consisting of 12 blocks. And purple sector, consisting of 14 blocks. To choose a sector to recce prior to visitation and to deploy people on the actual day. David Livingstone, he said, God had only one son, and he was a missionary. Christ would also like us to be missionaries. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Christ said, But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Christ has given us a message to follow as you bear witness for Him. We can find in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, We are the witness where you are, that is in Toa Payoh, and move progressively outward, that is Bishan, and now Whampoa. See to it that Christ is well known throughout our community of Toa Payoh, but we are also to move out, ever present outward from where we are. Our witness is to be first in Toa Payoh where we are, our local community, then in all Judea, other communities and areas. Are you bringing others to Christ? Let us work while it is day. The night cometh where no man can work. Let us pray.